Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Thanks for being with us this morning. We have officially made it to 6:10 a.m., and we have our first interview of the day. We've got State Representative for District 2, Alex Andrade, on the phone with us today. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning, Walker. How's it going?
It's going. Up bright and early this morning. So I know thanks for coming on today and calling in, and texted you yesterday. So I appreciate you being able to jump on here with a day's notice, less than a day's notice, to call in. But I asked, you know, kind of what's going on, and it seems you sent me an article from the Miami Herald about kind of some new details that have come out about this Hope, Florida case, and really kind of shedding some light on some new details, and wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of tell us what all has come out since this article just got put out yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, sure. So I'll start by saying this article would not have happened if it weren't for James Uthmeyer's office wanting a puff piece, like a cover piece, to be written about Hope, Florida about 3 weeks ago. So about 3 weeks ago, James Uthmeyer, Florida Attorney General, the office that drafts the manual called Florida Government in the Sunshine that tells everyone else how to comply with the Florida Public Records Act, decided to take a stack of almost 400 pages of public records that are responsive to requests that have been made since April. Reach out to a single individual reporter, tell that reporter what to think about these records, and tell that reporter he has an exclusive on these records and they won't give them to anybody else. When that came out, when we discovered that, that in itself was an issue sufficient for a bunch of news outlets to get together and start to threaten the Attorney General's office, you know, with lawsuits to finally get these records that they've been withholding since April. At the same time, I was so frustrated with the Attorney General's office's violations of the Public Records Act. I was also frustrated with ACA's violations of the Public Records Act. They were sitting on thousands of pages of public records I'd asked for since April. And so all at once, I think on Wednesday night last week, there was this dump from ACA and the Attorney General's office of thousands of pages of public records that they'd both been sitting on since April. And within those records, it shows the negotiation process for this Hope, Florida settlement agreement with Centene, where the state settled with Centene, the Medicaid company, for $67 million and secretly told Centene to pay $10 million of that to the Hope, Florida Foundation, the charity spearheaded by Casey DeSantis. As some folks might be aware, that money was immediately diverted from the Hope Florida Foundation after they got it to a PAC run by James Uthmeyer himself, who at the time was DeSantis's chief of staff, Governor DeSantis's chief of staff. And that money was spent on fighting the Medical Marijuana Amendment 3 last fall. What we found out was the idea of diverting this money to the Hope Florida Foundation did not happen until September 10th when ACA met with the governor's office. I don't know what everyone's aware of, but James Uthmeyer has sworn up and down for months that he had nothing to do with the settlement and had no knowledge of it. But the fact that the concept of sending this money to the Hope Florida Foundation came about from a meeting between ACA's secretary and chief of staff in the governor's office kind of puts a pin in that whole argument, and it kind of refutes what James Uthmeyer has been claiming. And it also puts a specific date on when this Hope Florida language was injected into the contract. And you see immediately Centene, And Ashley Moody, who was the attorney general at the time in her office, kind of freaking out about the addition. And you see a bunch of drafts between September 10th and September 27th showing that the attorney general's office wanted to get their name out of this contract. They wanted to make no representations in the settlement agreement. And Centene, on the other hand, was injecting, you know, language in the contract saying, we're not liable for anyone who, for any claim or accusation that happens if we make this donation to the Hope Florida Foundation. And the Centene, the company, was insisting on the attorney general's office being very much involved, you know, in the language of the settlement, just because they were all concerned about the legality of using Medicaid money and sending it to this charity. Ultimately, the only reason this money, anyone felt comfortable sending this money to this charity, is ACA swore up and down, including in language in the contract, that this money would be used for Medicaid purposes.
Right. And Alex, we're going to break real quick. We're going to get traffic on the fives, do some commercials, and let's come back and let's talk about kind of what's going to be happening now that all this has come to light. Interesting stuff that came out yesterday in the article, and glad to have you on to talk about it. We'll be right back, John, with traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on I-10 westbound, right after the Pine Forest exit, you're going to see some construction delays there. So just be aware of that. But other than that, traffic is still flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When it comes to safety, Subarus are all-star performers. In fact, the 2025 Subaru Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback earned top marks with a 5-star overall vehicle score from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And the Subaru Ascent has been an IIHS top safety pick for 8 years running. The Forester has been an IIHS top safety pick for 19 years running. And the Outback has been an IIHS top safety pick for 16 years running. All of which explains why the American Customer Satisfaction Index ranks Subaru number one in safety. Subaru, more of what you value most. Get special low rates on select new vehicles during the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now through September 2nd at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, Spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Join Claimology tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology. He'll be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's tomorrow at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Detroit players, Tim's going.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Don't forget, you can always text in to 850-437-1620. If you got questions, comments, concerns, we will I'd love to hear them. So we have on with us State Representative Alex Andrade, District 2 here in Escambia in Santa Rosa County, and talking about Hope Florida issue really with the settlement that's come out and then some money being moved out of that settlement into Hope Florida, a foundation and charity started by Casey DeSantis, and then that money quickly moving from there into a PAC that was run by then Chief of Staff, now Attorney General James Uthmeyer, and Alex Andrade really bringing to light all of this and some hearings over in Tallahassee this legislative session. And so, Alex, I guess, you know, this new article comes out. We now see communication that's been happening going back to past September of 2024 and really shedding some light on maybe some more details of what happened and how this occurred. And so kind of what are the next steps in your eyes as this thing continues to evolve and move forward?
Well, Walker, I think the next steps for us as legislators were kind of decided back last session when, you know, I concluded my committee meetings on it. We're not law enforcement, right? There is an open criminal investigation at the state attorney's office that they had to confirm, but it's unclear exactly where in any step any federal agency is in any investigation of their own. You know, you have CMS, the federal Medicaid agency. You know, they're under Dr. Oz and HHS, and then you also have the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, that is looking into it from the aspect of the Hope Florida Foundation spending, you know, $9.8 million more than they were allowed to as a charity on the campaign. You know, the IRS could levy a $2.5 million fine on Hope Florida Foundation directly simply because the Hope Florida Foundation spent that $10 million on campaign activity. CMS could fine the state if they determined that the state misused these funds or didn't pay the federal government back the share of every federal dollar for Medicaid money that the state has received as part of this settlement. And then obviously you have just the general FBI and the Department of Justice and a potential criminal investigation. So, you know, there's a lot in play at the federal level. It's a little bit simpler at the state level. There's just the one state agency, you know, the state attorney's office there in Tallahassee. So any one of those could, you know, announce anything at any given time. Although I think Centene has not fully paid the state back on the settlement agreement yet. They still owe 50% of the amount they said they were going to send the state. That money's supposed to come in the next month or two because they had a year to pay the second installment. I think once that happens and the state pays the federal government back whatever the state says they owe the federal government, you'll see a lot more activity at the federal side. Me as a legislator, I'm planning on filing legislation to tighten up the Public Records Act. I mean, if you can't trust your own attorney general who tells us all how to comply with the Public Records Act to actually follow the law, then I think we need to change the law and make it a little bit tougher and add some more penalties. I think we also need to put some restrictions on state agencies. You know, this all started before I knew anything about James Uthmeyer's involvement, his direct involvement in all this. This all started because I, you know, found out that a state agency that was under my purview in the healthcare budget entered into a statewide settlement for $67 million, sent $10 million to a charity, and didn't think of even telling us they engaged in this settlement. Telling us in the legislature they engaged in it. Like, we as the legislature, we're the ones that direct payments and tell agencies how to spend their money. That's our constitutional purview. So this all started from there. And so I think we just need to find ways to tighten that up, you know, inject more transparency into the executive, and also just make sure that folks in very high positions of public authority and public trust, like the governor's chief of staff, are held accountable when they do things that are corrupt and wrong.
Yep. And I think that, I think that's fair. And I think certainly, you know, as a legislator, it's like you've kind of got to sometimes in these situations react and then try and tighten up legislative policies around how to maybe prevent something like that from happening in the future. So that's good to hear. John, what we got with traffic on the fives?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to report to you right now. Still looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. We've got Representative Alex Andrade on the phone with us. I've been talking a lot about Hope, Florida. We've got a few minutes left here for the till we get to 6:30. And Alex, you go into your last legislative session. I know committee weeks will probably start up sometime around November maybe or after Thanksgiving, and then y'all will get going in January or February, I guess, early this year since there's an election next year. But you know, what are you kind of maybe looking forward to doing as you set sails and cruise on out of Tallahassee for the last time?
Well, I brought a lot of money home inside of the budget without having my name on it. That's one of the benefits of being a budget chair is you can kind of craft the budget in a more direct way than maybe a legislator that's not a budget chair. Obviously, it made news. There was a couple million dollars with my name on it that Governor DeSantis did veto this last budget. So my first step in all of this is figuring out how to maximize my position as a budget chair with without jeopardizing or putting things that I want funded at risk with my name on it, because obviously Governor DeSantis is not happy with the fact that I've been pursuing this Hope Florida investigation. It's my last session. There's a couple bills, I either haven't filed ever that I really want to file. One of them is, the elimination of the death penalty. It's something that I've always said that I at least wanted to file. Just have a personal opposition to the death penalty. I'm obviously very pro-life. And I think the death penalty has a lot of drawbacks. It has no deterrent effect. I don't see how the immense cost on our justice system is benefited by putting someone to death when you have to provide so much due process to each defendant who could be subject to it. So that's one bill that, I don't think it'll pass. I've told myself since I first ran for office I'd want to file. So I have a couple bills like that, most of which, I intend to try and pass, obviously. You look down your bucket list of bills you always wish you to run and you want to run and you want to try and start a debate about, and then you just look at the budget and see how you can maximize getting funds brought back home.
Nice. Well, that's exciting. I know I remember you telling me that you wanted to run that bill 7 or 8 years ago when this all got started. So, that'll certainly, with all of the executions that have been occurring this year, it seems like they've made the news more, or there are more of them, I guess, that have been occurring at the state level. And I know Andrew, I'm sure, will have some thoughts on that. He's got some strong opinions. I can remember him talking about it the past couple of weeks on that. So that'll be a fun topic of civil conversation we can all have together once you get that filed. So, Alex, well, thanks for calling in. We'll keep following this Hope Florida deal, see what comes out, and just kind of keep our ears to the ground. So appreciate you calling in and hope you have a good rest of the week.
Thanks, guys. Right.
Thanks, Alex. All right. A kind of wild story there with Hope Florida really getting brought to light. This article that I looked at in the Miami Herald, it does show emails, files of emails going back and forth, talking about how, payments maybe don't get seen somewhere or they're not wanting to bring light to some of the transactions that were going on. And so I think it brings credence to what Alex really brought up in the legislative committees that he had over the healthcare budget and how this all kind of got brought to his attention through that process. And so we'll just kind of see what comes out of it, but it certainly doesn't look great right now. And then you've got, of course, all the political drama that's infighting in the Republican Party. You've got, you know, Casey DeSantis had been thought to maybe run for governor. We still don't know. Maybe that's still the case. You've got Byron Donalds, who's jumped out there, gotten endorsed by President Trump already. And then you've got Jay Collins named lieutenant governor yesterday. And so maybe there's a play for him to jump in the race at some point. So we'll stay tuned. We'll see. And we'll be back after the break.
Jalousi, the National Guard on the ground in Washington, D.C., as President Trump's plan to crack down on crime gets underway. Some D.C. Democrats say crime is down and dropped to a 30-year low last year. But U.S. Attorney for D.C., Jeanine Pirro, tells Fox,
"You tell the kid who was just beat the hell and back with a severe concussion and a broken nose, crime is down. No, that falls on deaf ears. And my ears are deaf to that. And that's why I fight the fight."
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is in Berlin today for talks ahead of President Trump's Alaska meeting with Vladimir Putin.
Anchorage, Alaska is hosting the summit. It will be the first in-person meeting between President Trump and Putin in the president's second term and Putin's first trip to the U.S. since 2015.
Fox's Jared Halpern, Trump expected to attend a virtual summit with European leaders and Zelensky today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 80 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies here this morning in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 in just a few minutes. Well, a man recovering after being stabbed during an argument with a woman happened on Olive Road and Palafox Street yesterday. Deputies say the man was stabbed in the chest and suffered a non-life-threatening injury. He was taken to a hospital for treatment. The woman was detained. Officials say charges against her are pending. Well, Pensacola residents have another chance to give some input on the Fricker Community Center and the renovation there this week. A community meeting being held this morning from 8 a.m. here until 9:30 at the Fricker Center. The city planning to invest into that facility after receiving $10 million in grant funding in 2023. Once the renovations are done, the building will include a career lab, senior center, access to health care, increased parking, and ADA-compliant playground. City leaders say community input on that project is vital to its success. The improvements are being done as part of the Direction 25 Pensacola Parks revitalization project. Now, still unclear if Tropical Storm Aaron is going to affect the East Coast. Forecasters expect Aaron to become a hurricane over the central tropical Atlantic here in the next few days. It could reach the northern Leeward Islands over the weekend. The Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico could also feel some effects. Florida state government now has an official number two. Governor Ron DeSantis naming former Tampa Senator Jay Collins as lieutenant governor yesterday. Collins is a combat wounded veteran who served more than 20 years as a Green Beret. DeSantis said the appointment makes Florida now the only state where veterans are both the governor and the lieutenant governor. DeSantis called Collins an unapologetic fighter for conservative values. Well, a Nassau County deputy has found herself on the wrong side of the law. Corrections Deputy Ariel Hester was arrested yesterday for official misconduct and grand theft. The Nassau Sheriff's Office says discrepancies were discovered in Hester's reported work hours last month. She allegedly claimed compensation for time she didn't work, dating all the way back to about a year ago.
Miami judge, federal judge, will decide today whether operations and construction can resume at Alligator Alcatraz. The judge previously had ruled in favor of an environmental advocacy group who called for a shutdown of the facility until an environmental study could be completed. A temporary order blocked construction at that site for 2 weeks, but it did allow them to continue housing detainees. Well, after a hearing yesterday, the judge said she plans to issue a ruling today that will override that temporary ruling, either further halting construction or allowing it to resume as the case continues. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. If you are, on Garden Street, flooding from rain has got Garden Street at a standstill at Barrancas. Cars stalling out and having to pull over, so avoid that area and find an alternate route. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have a high chance of rain as we go through the morning and afternoon. 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. Going into Thursday, 40% chance of rain, high near 89 degrees. Overnight Thursday, temperatures dropping near 77. For Friday, 40% chance of rain, high near 90 and a low near 76. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got a bit of a cloudy day today. It's 80 degrees across the area. Heat index only bringing it up a few degrees as of right now. Our next news is at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors digested the latest inflation data and considered the impact of tariffs on the U.S. economy. The 10-year Treasury yield was down over 3 basis points to 4.255%, while the 2-year Treasury yield was over 1 basis point lower at 3.711%. Bullish, a cryptocurrency exchange and owner of crypto news site CoinDesk, priced its initial public offering at $37 per share. This is above the expected range of $32 to $33. The IPO price gives the company a total market value of $5.4 billion. Shares will trade on the New York Stock Exchange under ticker symbol BLSH. Oil prices are moderately lower as industry reports points to slowing U.S. demand and amid the U.S.'s meeting with Russia this Friday. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $62.64 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $65.68 per barrel. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
So I have known Christina Leavenworth as long as I've lived here. You know, back to when she was in the news and then all the things that she's done since then and with her family and everything else. And when she said that she wanted to get into real estate, those of us who knew her thought, well, a lot of people try, but if anybody can make it work, you can. And she has, it's unbelievable, honestly. And the reason is because, you know, she's really smart and she's very personable. But frankly, I think it's because she's willing to do all the little things that kind of everybody knows you're supposed to do. She just does them. She calls back right away. She follows up. And when people come and look at a house and they don't make an offer, she thinks, well, let's find out why. So she'll call the agent and the agent will say, well, they didn't like this or the price or whatever. And, you know, she says, okay, great, because that's a learning opportunity. Maybe we can do it better in the future. Or, well, you know, actually, we can fix that. Would they be interested if we did this? Maybe, because that can become a sale. That is such a little thing, but think about it. How many people are really willing to do that little step but it can turn into so many great results. That's the way she approaches everything, from fixing nails in the drywall, you know, holes in the drywall the night before you're supposed to have a closing just to make sure the closing happens. Whatever it takes, she gets the job done. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Don't forget, if you want, you can text in to 850-437-1620. John, I think I was just waiting for that to change into Who Let the Dogs Out and waited a little too long. So my bad on that one.
It's all good, man.
All good. Well, I'm the executive director of the Downtown Improvement Board, and have been down there for, I guess next month will be 5 years, which is insane. The DIB was an organization that started in 1972. Actually, Jim Reeves ran legislation when he was in the state legislature to form the DIB as a special taxing district where we charge all those property owners inside the DIB district 2 extra mils, and that's how the DIB is funded. The other big revenue source for the Downtown Improvement Board is the Palafox Market, which I'm sure many listeners have been to that on a Saturday, and we run that every Saturday except Mardi Gras. And just 2 years ago now, I think it's been 2 years, we worked with Mayor Reeves and City Council on getting an ordinance change so that we could have an extension of the Palafox Market down to Plaza Ferdinand, which is the park across the street from Jackson Steakhouse or the Pensacola History Museum, what was known as the T.T. Wentworth Museum there on Jefferson. So we've got about 50 to 60 vendors in that park every Saturday. And then up at MLK Plaza, where we've been for many years, we've got usually about 140 to 150 vendors every Saturday. And so we hope you come out and support those local businesses. Most of them are out there every single Saturday. We have some that will kind of come every other week. But, you know, you've got a bunch of artists. You've got some local farmers that come out with fresh produce, depending on what season it is, and if they've got something that is good enough to sell or in season, they'll have it out there. We've got local coffee roasters, local pastry chefs. We've got tamales that are incredible. You can come down there and grab lunch, do some shopping, and enjoy downtown on a Saturday. And it starts at 9 a.m. every Saturday and goes until 2 o'clock. And so you might want to try and come at 9 o'clock before it gets miserably hot outside at this time of year. And we also have been running a trolley starting at 10 o'clock on those Saturdays and run it till 3 p.m. So if you had come down to the market and got there late at 1:30 or so, that you still could get back to your car. And we pick up at the North Palafox lot on Palafox and Chase. We go down to the other market at Plaza Ferdinand. So we pick up and drop off at the corner of Jefferson and Government. And then we also pick up at the Commandencia lot, which is at Commandencia and Main Street, kind of between the port and Beggs and Lane Law Firm is right there on Main Street. There's a free parking lot there. So if you want to park for free, come down, park, get out of the car, and jump on the trolley, and it'll bring you up into downtown. You certainly can do that. And we run that every Saturday, the trolley, from 10 to 3 p.m. But the market runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we also have you can go to our website, downtownpensacola.com, go to the Palafox Market tab, and you can actually track the trolley there so you know where it is when you go downtown. So if you're down shopping and you need to get back soon, need to know where the trolley is, we've got a live tracker so you can see where that is each Saturday. And the city is still running their trolley system, which I believe is the exact same trolley that we use. It just picks up later in the afternoon on Saturdays, and they're working that in on Sundays as well. They've got that information on parkpensacola.com, the city's parking website, and so you can find all that information there. John, let's go to Traffic on the Fives and get some commercials in.
All right, no accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on East Nine Mile Road in University Parkway, we've got a disabled vehicle in the middle of the road, so definitely use caution in that area. Starting to see traffic back up there. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Markets may be unpredictable, but your cleaning service shouldn't be. At Janie King, the King of Clean, we work with you to build custom cleaning programs that fit your facility and your budget. Our local franchise owners deliver reliable, hands-on service backed by regional support, so you get flexibility, consistency, and peace of mind. That's one less thing to worry about. Head to JannieKingCleans.com to learn more. That's JannieKingCleans.com.
Janie King, the King of Clean. You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Several years ago, my wife and I were planning on replacing our then many years old Dodge Grand Caravan, and we thought we wanted to buy a Honda Odyssey, but as is often our practice, we wanted to test drive one of the type we wanted to buy before we needed to buy it, about 6 months ahead of time, to make sure that when time came to really find the deal we wanted, that we were looking for the right kind of car. Couldn't find one. Nobody had one that we could drive. We found one at Frontier Motors. We called it our unicorn. It actually happened to be the color we wanted as well. But again, we didn't want one for another 6 months. We drove it. We loved it. That's fine. We were getting ready to go. And Calvin, our sales guy, said, "Do you want to look at the price?" I'm like, "Well, fine." "Oh, well, that's a good price. Can you come down a little bit?" "Sure." "Can you give us a day? Because we're not buying a car." "Sure." We thought about it a day later. "Can you come down just a little bit more?" "Sure." "Can we buy it?" I mean, that's how easy it was for us to buy this car. And again, we just had to because it was such low mileage. It was a year old with like 13,000 miles and the price was fantastic. We had to buy it. It would have been dumb of us to wait because they have great selection. That's what brought us to Frontier and because the process was so easy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. Please, as always, feel free to text in at 850-437-1620. And if you missed something, I know we got a call in about the podcast. John, I know y'all upload the episodes by the hour, I think, is how it works on anywhere you get your podcast. You can go back and listen to the show if you missed something or wanted to catch something. And so they are good about getting those up fairly quickly. So
yeah, as soon as the hour's over with, I'll have it up by 7:05.
Yeah, so if you heard something in this past hour, it'll be up here in the next 30 minutes or so. You can go back and listen to it. So I know I'll do that if there's something that Andrew's talking about that I missed because it might have been at 6 o'clock in the morning and my alarm hadn't gone off yet or something like that. So anyways, but another hat that I wear in the community, and again, this is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew, is I'm the chair of the Escambia County Planning Board, so dealing with rezonings on property and ordinance changes. And one thing that we had, and I spoke about this on the wrap a couple weeks ago when I was here, is the planning board voted to approve essentially the work plan for a new community redevelopment agency, or a CRA, in the Myrtle Grove area. We do have Commissioner Mike Kohler calling in later, and that CRA has been one of his pet projects to try and get that up and off the ground over in the Myrtle Grove area, to kind of create a dedicated funding source to put into infrastructure, whether that's, you know, increasing sewage capacity in the neighborhood, putting in streetlights, sidewalks, creating incentives for the private industry to come in and redo some blighted commercial areas. That's kind of typically what you'll see come out of community redevelopment agencies, or CRAs. The county has, I think this will be the 8th or 9th CRA that the county has. And the city of Pensacola has 3 CRAs. And for those that may be curious how those are funded, they were created out of Tallahassee state legislatures, where we'll take this Myrtle Grove area, for instance. If this gets passed and the commission approves the creation of this community redevelopment agency, it's got a dedicated district. It's got a line around some areas in Myrtle Grove, and they look at what the taxable value in that district, that CRA district, is for this year. And then they'll look at what it is in a year from now, and there'll be an increase on the valuation, hopefully, right? And so there was, for instance, from last year to this year, there was an increase of about $30 million in property value in that district. And so then what the CRAs do to finance themselves is they will take whatever the difference is, so whatever that increase is from that base year, the base year that it started, and they will capture a portion of that property tax that people have paid and put into a fund to go into that CRA area that has to stay in the neighborhood. So it's kind of a giant, oddly organized HOA, if you will. But it helps dedicate money to blighted areas or areas that maybe typically don't get as much representation in some of maybe the more flashy, exciting projects that you can see around town, or areas that are typically more poverty stricken that maybe don't have a voice or a seat at the table a lot of times, or it isn't going to be, it might be a heavy lift to try and get some money into those areas for projects because it doesn't really help the rest of the legislative body. And so they've got this kind of funding mechanism to fuel that. And I'll keep going here in a second after we get some traffic on the fives with John.
That's right. Still dealing with that disabled vehicle. If you are on University Parkway headed toward 9 Mile Road, you're going to see that disabled vehicle causing some delays at that intersection. But the rest of I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I don't see any delays yet. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And so, again, Walker Wilson talking about a new CRA over in the Myrtle Grove area that we passed at the planning board this month and just how those are funded. So, again, it sets a base year for whenever a CRA was created. So look at Warrington CRA, the oldest one, and that one is almost 30 years old in 2 years from now. So their base valuation is extremely low compared to what it is today. So the amount of money that gets captured or kept in that neighborhood is much higher than what will be for Myrtle Grove next year once they kind of get their first TIF or tax increment funding put into their CRA. The CRAs capture the funding from whatever taxing authority assesses property tax. So you just got your tax bill, you got school district, you got the county, you got the city, you might have the DIB. And so all these taxing authorities charge in there. The state precluded school districts and water districts from having to pay into CRAs. So with a city CRA, for instance, there's a downtown urban core CRA that's created in the 80s. There's a west side and an east side CRA. They get to capture the county's property tax that's paid by those city residents and keep it in those CRAs in the city because they are assessing property tax. So we look at the urban core CRA in downtown Pensacola, which goes from A Street on the west side over to 17th on the east side. North side is Cervantes, and then it goes all the way down to the bay. So kind of the big, you know, what you imagine downtown to be probably in your head is the urban core city CRA. When they started that, the valuation of the property was $86 million in the mid-80s. Today, the property inside that area is just over $1.1 billion. So the city captures the difference between that $1.1 billion and $85 million at a 95% collection rate. And so the urban core CRA is very well funded. They also get to capture the county property tax that's assessed in that area. And so that's how there's a lot of big projects that get funded in the downtown because all that money has to stay where it was generated. And so it really is, if you live in a CRA area or if you don't know if you do, it's certainly, I would encourage you to look up and see if you're in a city CRA or a county CRA because they're are some old CRAs in Escambia County and in the city of Pensacola. And if you live in one of them, it's your tax dollars are staying right there in that district. And so it's important for you to be involved in those conversations. They're not, CRA meetings are typically not very well attended. The county hosts them typically before an agenda review or before their a regular meeting once a month. And the city also hosts them before their agenda review each month. And the CRA boards are, the county commission sits as a CRA board, and then the city council sits as a CRA board. So it's still the same legislative body that you have for the county and city council. But again, it's just kind of a different pocket of money that's typically more geared towards just your neighborhood that you live in because it's getting captured and has to be spent in that area typically for improving a neighborhood, for infrastructure projects, for sidewalks, for lighting, for safety. And so, you know, I encourage you to really look up and see if you're in one, and then make sure you, you know, get involved. And I think, you know, if you've got issues, a lot of times those can be solved out of the CRA funding if you live in one of those areas. And I think it's a good way to advocate for yourself in your neighborhood to get some projects done that might be a little bit more difficult going kind of the traditional regular route through the county commission or through the city council. So just a little word from Walker today on CRAs. We will be back after this break, and we'll be on with school board member Kevin Adams.